So, welcome to the next edition of the Rare Business Podcast. With me today, I have Anthony Suhu, who is the founder and CEO of Dot & Bow. Hi, Anthony. How are you doing?
Great. How are you?
I am splendid. So, Anthony, because I'm based across in this little island called the UK, and you're kind of way on the far side of the US, people might not necessarily be familiar with Dot & Bow. Across the pantheon of listeners and readers that I have, so can you tell us a little bit about you and a little bit about the work that you do?
Yeah, sure. So Dot & Bow, the way we describe it, it's really the first home brand for the millennial generation in the U.S. What that means is we try to make the shopping experience specifically entertaining, approachable, and shoppable. The background on how the company was started was that I personally was shopping for furniture, and I found that it was very difficult. It was easy to find a piece that I might like,
right,
but it was difficult to answer the question of how would this chair look with the room that I have and all the other pieces I've already purchased. And I realized that my background is in media and tech, but in fact, my last startup was acquired by CBS, and I spent 3.5 years at CBS running the entertainment division for their digital group. And I realized that a lot of people would shop by watching entertainment, whether those be, you know, home decorating shows or as they're just kind of watching a TV show. They're kind of understanding how the sets look, and a lot of times it creates demand. And that's kind of the experience we wanted to create, which was we wanted to create an experience where you don't feel a pressure to buy anything as much as you feel like at the end of the day you're learning something, you're being entertained, and if you do want to buy it or buy a product on from our experience, you can. And that, in a nutshell, represents a little bit of what we're trying to do with Dot & Bow.
And just to be clear, this is like furniture retail, and it's just purely online. You don't have any stores, right?
We don't have any stores at all. We do have a large office in San Francisco, and occasionally we find people drive hundreds of miles to come look at the furniture inside our office, which surprises us. But hey, if the brand connects with them enough that they want to get the car and drive that far to see it, by all means, we try to connect. We try to accommodate. I think in the future, one of the things we are looking towards is creating kind of guide shops or showrooms for people to kind of feel and touch and sit in the products that we sell.
Yeah, I mean that sort of makes sense, and I can see there's quite a lot of firms that are doing kind of that, but purely online firms that have moved into that sort of dabbling or experimenting with the sort of high street or office locations in terms of for showrooms, galleries, those sort of things. But let's circle back to yourselves and go. Now, I know you're using. This is a competitive marketplace, but you're using customer service as a way of differentiating that, and that's how we differentiate yourself, and that's how we got connected. I mean, can you tell me about what does customer service mean for Dot & Bow? I mean, because you've got quite an interesting take on that.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing about customer service is that I think the traditional way of dealing with customer service was a customer has to walk in your door and make a purchase, and if they have a problem, then you would call something customer service.
Right.
In terms of helping solve that person's problem. But the way we see it is customer service and customer relationship, there really is no difference in this time and age. In fact, I think more than anything itself, we see customer service as really customer relationship. What that means is from the first point they touch our brand, or they come across our brand, they'd have to be an ad or they come to our website, to the point that they're kind of considering a purchase, to the point that they make a purchase and they might have an issue, we want to have a consistent experience for that customer. What that means is that when a consumer pre-purchase might have a question, we want them to feel like the experience that they're getting when they're asking those questions be the same experience that they're going to get after they make a purchase. And what that relies on is kind of a deep level of training where anyone who interfaces with our customers kind of have a deep understanding of who are the customers that we service, as well as a deep understanding of data, making sure that we have a good, holistic view on the customer itself as they go through that kind of customer journey from consideration to purchase.
Right. Okay. So it's not really sort of, it's taking a very modern approach. It's not about it's not about, you know, attracting them via marketing and then about sales and then about service on the back end. It's actually it's service end to end.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that the earlier point I made, how we focus as part of the customer experience, really the part of engagement. In fact, I think one of the terms we like to use is at the end of the day, we see ourselves as a media company that monetizes through commerce. So commerce, or when a consumer buys, is how we make money and how we say, you know, we're a self-sustaining business. But when you think about it that way, the most important thing that we can do if we engage the customer correctly is to sell without selling, which means the consumer should feel very comfortable that they can consume our content and get ideas to be inspired by it without feeling like the only way they can have a relationship with us is to be pulled out of their wallet.
Okay. So that's all fantastic. I mean, but going back to also what you can talk about is that you're particularly focused on sort of millennials, and that's your kind of, if you like, major sort of target market. I mean, can you tell us, and then you can also mention that you're, you know, like you said just then, a media company that monetizes through sort of furniture sort of sales, but it's almost a bit like TV is leading kind of the business. What's happening on TV with reality shows and things is leading kind of or inspiring your business. I mean, can you tell us a little bit about, one, how you're customizing things for millennials in terms of their buying behavior and their desires and things? Because there's a lot of talk about this group, and I think there's sometimes a little bit of an, I don't know if it's a specific group or they're quite amorphous or is it just about behaviors, but I mean, tell us a little bit more about your experience and millennials.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think the first thing is obviously the millennial generation is going to be, over the next 5 years, I think the largest consumer group, at least in the U.S., in terms of shopping.
Okay.
And if you don't get ahead of it, I think you're in trouble. One of the stats that we don't talk about as often, but, you know, what I can share is that in terms of if you look at our demo, the demographics of people who purchase from Dot&Bow, we do have a unique demographic where 60% of our audience is 45 years or younger.
Right.
That's traditionally not what you think of as a traditional furniture shopper. But I think the way we look at it is this, which is that anyone would want great styles. And what do the millennials need? Well, they want really a digital native brand that they can kind of connect with. They are looking for customer service, as we call it in our definition of a customer relationship.
Yeah.
At the point that they come to our site and they want that to be consistent, they want to be able to communicate on their own terms. I think the communication is the very first thing of how they are so different. You know, in the past, I think that you would think that the majority of consumers would prefer a phone because that's where you can, a typical call center or a traditional customer service department would kind of look at reducing their first contact resolution or improving their first contact resolution or SCR as the number one priority. And the best way you do that is increasing through phone. What we find is chat and email works great for us because the millennials really prefer to have a dialogue, but their terms of how they want to communicate is less, through voice as much as it is through text. So
right. We
find that that is one of those things that it starts from there. And then it goes all the way to when you first come to the site as a millennial, they want to be taken through a journey. So we have a very specific, depending on what style you are, it may be mid-century modern, industrial modern, whatever furniture styles you have. We take you through a very deliberate and personalized onboarding process for the consumer just to make sure that, you know, you feel acclimated. In some respects, we think about it a little bit like an amusement park. If you're going to walk in, you don't want to show the roller coasters up front, but you want to have more of the approachable rides. It's the same thing in terms of communication. You want to make sure the user is not, or the customer walking in, is not completely overwhelmed with all the products that you have and you take them on a journey. You might say, well, you do that for everyone, but yes. But I think that there is a way to kind of speak to this audience where I don't think millennials, the bottom line is, want to be sold. They want to fall in love with a product. They want to connect with a product before they make a purchase. And they're looking to build relationships versus a transaction. I think that's the thing a lot of people get wrong, where they think that millennials just want to go through the transaction, walk in and out. There's a large base of our consumers that signed up with us when we first launched in early 2013 and are still shopping with us today.
Right. Okay. I mean, so the other thing I wanted to bring up as well is that, because we were talking sort of offline before, when we initially connected, is you also kind of, you've also learned some really interesting kind of things around like payment and preferred channels, because you're talking about the difference between desktop and tablet and payment by sort of phone and why that's kind of come about. Do you remember?
Yeah. Well, what I could say is that, look, what's really interesting is that for millennials, they like to buy a lot of impulse items specifically on their phone. When they need to make larger items, they do share these amounts, and then they go back and look and double check on their desktop to make sure that the picture and the image looks well larger. I think the other thing that we find is that consumers, one of the biggest things in terms of shopping for furniture is they need to know how it's going to fit in their house. And how many times, I think a lot of us have kind of walked in their showroom, you look at it at the store, it looks great, and when you bring it home, you're like, boy, this is way too small, too big, but it looked great in the store. So by all means, I think if they look at their phone as a kind of personal shopper, like their friend, their boyfriend, or girlfriend, when you walk in, that's helping them make that decision. And if you can kind of be that friend next to them, to engage with them through that interaction, it's really important. Thing we find is that on the weekends, they consume and read a lot more content. They might pull the trigger slightly less, but we also find that also a long part of the day, you know, the impulse purchases always happen much more in the morning. And then at nighttime, I would say, you know, starting around 5-6 o'clock, you see a lot more of the considered purchase where they're making larger purchases, and what we find is on those purchases, when they're calling in and asking questions, it's much more consultative, where in the morning, the questions are more related to an impulse purchase. Hey, can you get me this product in the next 5 days? Can it be here in 3 to 5 days? And the evening questions are typically a lot more thoughtful. They're much more, where they send us a photo and they're actually asking us how things would fit with each other. And they're looking for much more design advice.
Okay. And didn't you also kind of say, and you mentioned to me before as well, about how actually they sometimes, many of them prefer to pay using their mobiles because it's just easier to do that than it is to do on the tablet? And that was something that quite surprised you?
That's absolutely right. So when they're making purchases, what we have found is that a lot of times they find typing on a keyboard. If you look at a keyboard, it's kind of counterintuitive, but they prefer the smaller keyboard on the phone because they're so used to it. For a lot of us, our first training on typing was on a large, regular scale keyboard through your desktop.
Sure.
And they can actually, a lot of times, type faster on a phone. So as a result, you see transactions on a phone happen much quicker than they would on a desktop, and then the slowest is on a tablet, because on a tablet, the screen size is such that the keyboard is not big, but it's not small, and they find it kind of awkward. And in all our user testing, time and time again, we find that our consumers at least, just don't transact as much on tablets, which was counterintuitive, because you think, you know, every time you increase the screen size, you're going to get more transactions. That certainly is not the case with our customer base.
It's all about the thumbs, isn't it, Anthony?
Exactly. I guess they have thinner thumbs as they're younger, right? So it's easier for them to kind of blow through until you get older.
I don't know. But, I mean, that's fascinating stuff. I mean, so you've been around since 2013, and so what have been the, what's, as a result of this approach, what's the results, in terms of your growth and, you know, loyalty and retention and things, you know, how have you been getting on with that?
Yeah, so there's a few things that I can share, I think, on that. We launched on the January 28th of 2013. It felt like it was just yesterday in some respects, but also felt like 10 years ago as an entrepreneur or two. What I would say that during our time is, as a business, we've grown about 14x from year one to year three. So not comparing on day one when we had zero, but when you look at our revenue in year one to where we ended last year, we grew over 14 times. And if you look at those customer base accordingly, our retention of those consumers, we still have, I would say, about, you know, a good size, close to a quarter of the customers who signed up with us in that first month or quarter when we first signed up as a service, are still shopping on our service today,
okay.
which is astronomical because we've not really done anything from a marketing perspective outside of us thinking about this consumer experience. And I think that we have it at least here in the U.S., and we hope to bring it to the U.K. and as well as other English-speaking countries soon, a niche where I think that the idea of providing customer service or providing a high-level service, high touch, while at the same time providing great value on the products really resonates. And if you can kind of engage the consumer with great content on a daily basis where they feel like they're walking into a store and there's not a lot of pressure to buy, but, you know, they become great customers for you and it becomes a great business. And that's, I think, one thing when we first started and when we really was doing what we were doing, but we thought that there was something here.
Mm-hmm.
The last generation of media we're trying to translate it to with QVC and Home Shopping Network on TV. But as you look at the web, no one's really been able to translate the brand where you can take media and get people to consume. And I think we've been fortunate enough to be able to do that. And I think that has a lot to do with kind of how we think about customer engagement and how we think about customer service.
Fantastic. And you're now, what is it? Are you number five in the U.S. in terms of furniture retailing?
Yeah. It's a number that it's not us that says it. It's SimilarWeb, which is a measurement, but we're the number five online furniture shop in the U.S. alone. So, and hopefully, you know, that continues to grow, and hopefully, we'll expand to other countries where we'll have as much success.
Well, kudos to you, Anthony. That's what a great story. So, what's the next big challenge, the next big thing for Dot & Bear? I mean, is it that, you know, when it comes to extending the relationship and extending the service and, you know, how you do things? I mean, is it things like augmented and virtual reality? Is that sort of the next kind of
I think that there's a few things that we think about more and more, which is, you know, as consumers want to decorate their home, one of the things that we want to figure out and we are working closely with, and, you know, we're not going to get it right on the first try, is to figure out how we can solve the question of how will this look inside my house. And I actually think with augmented reality where you pull up, the example is the same way you take a photo today, but if you could take a photo or if you could do a panoramic shot of your house with your smartphone,
yeah,
and see what it looks like through your phone and be able to place images of the furniture you're going to buy and walk up to it as if that computer or that image looked on your tablet or your phone, would that give you more confidence to purchase? I actually think that those are some of the stuff that we're testing on. I believe that consumers are going to walk away much happier. I think our Net Promoter Score is going to skyrocket when we do stuff like that. And in addition, if they have more confidence, there's probably going to be less returns too. So as a business, it's a better service.
Sure.
And it's better business for us overall. So that's one of those things that I think if you do the right thing for the consumer, it leads to business. That's one. And number two is I think we're going to look at innovating around different ways of communication. You know, we do well with chat right now for a lot of our customers, but what are other ways and modes that they want to communicate? You look at kind of how consumers want to communicate today through social media on Snapchat or even how they put together mood boards on Pinterest.
Yeah.
There's probably a lot of room there for a commerce player, retailer to really innovate around. And then I think third is just really understanding what our consumers want and what they don't want and making sure we take some of the stuff that's more noise for them and improving on the areas that they want more of. And we try to do that because the one thing we do is that every time a customer comes to our site, if they make a purchase, we send them an NPS survey right at the last point of checkout where we ask them how satisfied and would you recommend this to their friend and then giving them the option to leave us comments. We do that at the point when they check out as well as when they receive their product after it's delivered.
Mm-hmm.
And we learn a lot in that process. And sometimes we find that on delivering these services, we're probably our biggest enemy from the standpoint we make it a little bit more, we add too many steps in that process in terms of even for our consumers. And that's more of a focus, like remove the friction.
Yeah.
But you can never do enough of that, we find, for our consumers. So if we learn more, I'm sure we'll have a list of stuff that we need to improve in terms of removing friction in our overall experience.
Fantastic. There's a lot of stuff to do, and actually there's some exciting new stuff, but there's also some straightforward stuff about keeping stuff simple and easy and frictionless and stuff. So there's a lot of work ahead.
Yeah, I think the way we look at it is, there are moments where there's a lot of blocking and tackling items, and then there are items where you are really taking moonshots and seeing which one sticks. And
yeah,
I think you need a little balance of both if you want to innovate, but at the same time, you also want to service your customers in the short term and long term.
Brilliant. So, Anthony, just conscious of your time, and I know you're driving, so I don't want to keep you on the phone server too long. But is there anything else that you'd like to kind of add that we haven't sort of covered off before I ask you my final question that I always ask when I conduct these interviews?
No, I think that I can go on and on about customer experience and customer service. This has been really fun to me.
So let me ask you my final question, and is this, Anthony. It's like, is there anything that you would like to shamelessly plug?
Is there anything I would like to shamelessly plug? I think that if you have a chance, come check out Dot & Bow, even if you're not going to purchase something. Just to understand the experience and how we do thematically on a daily basis, entertainment. And if you're signing up for an experience and you try it, if you like it or you don't like it, send us an email with your thoughts to info@dotandbow.com. I'd love to kind of hear that. As much as I can, I read about 90% of all customer feedback that comes in when I'm around on the weekend. So I always love to kind of hear what we are doing right and what we're doing wrong. I guess that's the thing I would love to plug is just give us feedback on what we're doing right and wrong.
Perfect. That's brilliant. And Anthony, thank you for that. Thank you for your time, sharing your story and your experience. I'll make sure I get all this edited up, written up, linked up, and get it out, and we'll give you a big shout out, and hopefully we can get some people coming along and signing up and experiencing the sort of the entertainment, the thematic sort of approach that you're taking. But I think that sounds great. But once again, thanks for your time today. That's been brilliant.
No, it's been a lot of fun. Thank you for reaching out.